Welcome back, everybody. For those of you watching on Facebook, congratulations. You just saw some cowbell happen. By cowbell, I mean, well, you know.
I thought I was doing the impersonation pretty well, and then you just went and outdid me, Brian.
I already decided this is the song. I'm like, oh, I'm doing that right now.
There you go.
By the way, I'm lightheaded from it, so you're going to have to take it from here for a second.
Fair enough. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That is my friend Brian back from his bout with COVID. And as he mentioned, it's nothing to take lightly.
No, don't. It's crap.
Right. It's the last thing that you want. It's really not good. And we got a text in as well from our friend Wes in Middleton. And so, Wes, we appreciate your contribution to today's show. You can be like Wes. Send us a text at 844-967-2789. So, Wes, kind of send us a little bit of a paragraph, but I'm going to dive in. Fellas, I'm an ICU nurse at a local hospital in the area. Let me tell you firsthand, we've got no room at the inn. We're in trouble. Don't get sick right now. It's as bad as you think and worse in some ways. Every hospital in our state is in the same situation. My hospital gets calls every day from rural areas that want to transfer patients that need higher levels of care that we can't accommodate. People are preventably dying in rural Wisconsin of conditions that we could otherwise treat if we could accommodate them. I will say, though, patients that need COVID ICU or hospital care at all care are unvaccinated almost all as a rule. The vaxxed, while they can certainly still spread the thing, at the very least, they're likely not going to drain on sources. That's why I'm for the passports. Sure, people are going to play the system. Can't get around that. But all told, if we could just cut down on the numbers of people that are going to tie up our healthcare resources, I'm for it. Again, that's our friend Wes in Middleton. Wes, we appreciate the insight that you can provide to this show as a nurse in the ICU.
Yeah, I got you. And I'm not, please don't misconstrue what I'm saying about it. What I'm saying is that the impetus with throwing out the vaccine passports is not necessarily to stop people who are unvaccinated from going everywhere as mm-hmm. much as to blanket, just try and reduce the amount of percentage of people. That's it. You don't see people like the worst thing you saw about people being unvaccinated is losing their jobs after like a 2 to 6 month period of being told you got all this time to go and get a vaccine or lose your job or get another job. You had all that time to do it. You had plenty of more than 2 weeks notice, which is more than a lot of places give you. So other than that, that's like the worst that has happened from somebody who's been unvaccinated. You don't see anybody prosecuted. Nobody's been like the worst. You get thrown off a plane. Okay. Most of the time it's because you were unruly, not necessarily because you're unvaccinated.
I was saying I don't recall any of the stories from people getting tossed off airplanes for the fact that they just didn't, they tried to get on without having a vaccine for a vaccine yeah. mandated
Most
flight.
Of it is for behavior.
It's for physical alterations that people mm-hmm. cause when they're mm-hmm. asked to put a piece of cloth over their face to prevent the spread of a deadly virus.
Yeah. So again, I don't necessarily think that the efforts are stupid. I'm more saying that it's going to be taken advantage of. And a lot of the directives that are put out there are not necessarily logically the most, like, they're not trying to get rid of people who are vaccinated from going out.
Right.
Okay. They're just trying to mitigate the circumstances. They're trying to let it so that West doesn't get overrun completely.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it so that some beds are available in the ICU. Yeah. Everyone that's filled that is because of COVID is full of an unvaccinated person. I don't know what else you got to tell you.
Right. The nice place that we were at back in the summer was the fact that we were to the point where a lot of the preventable deaths were being prevented. It was the point where, and again, that's why a lot of us let our guards down because a lot of people said, okay, I'm going, it's branded as an individual's choice, Brian. And if you want to go get vaccinated, go get vaccinated. And vaccination was your best chance at staying out of the hospital and the best chance of dying from this virus. And so people made the choice. They
I didn't die from it, but it sure did suck.
Right. But now we're at the point where there are so many people that refuse to go get vaccinated, and there's a number of breakthrough cases because this virus is mutating, again, because there are so many people worldwide that are unvaccinated, and we continue to travel without mandates of vaccinate. Like, a vaccine mandate through travel would be one of the most influential ways to be able to cut down on variants as well. Because the variants occur in unvaccinated populations, and then they come back, and then you have things like Omicron. That it's Omicron for a reason. It's that far down the Greek alphabet because there have been variants of concern, and they name them. But then you have variants that actually are worse and cause these breakthroughs, like Omicron is doing, and you're seeing a number of unvaccinated people and breakthrough cases, although a fraction of the number of cases, overwhelming our hospital system because of the current surge in cases as a whole. But my takeaway from your friend's story, the firefighter down in Chicago, isn't that testing is or passports are bad and that testing is the only way to find out. It's a combination of the two, Brian. If you let your guard down and you're not testing and you think that you might, and you're just like, no, it's probably just the flu. It's probably just the stuffy nose. It's probably just the cold. And you don't go and get the test, but because you're vaccinated. You think you're fine. You're going to beat it. It's on you. But you are then a part of the spread. And so I think it's important that we got to remember it's not just vaccines. It's not just mandating vaccines. And in some businesses that are mandating vaccine passports to be able to get in. We had our first restaurant here in the city of Madison, mandated vaccination status, proof of vaccination status before you can get in the door. In downtown Madison. It's the first of its kind, but I can tell you that if I'm going out to eat, that's what I'd like to see.
And if you go through the effort to go and make a fake vaccine passport just to go to that restaurant, okay. Yeah. All right. You pulled one over. But the idea is that the majority of people aren't going to make that choice. They're just going to go, I either won't go there or I'll show my vaccine passport. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah, but Brian, we promised the listeners a little update on the fall of democracy. So let's dive into that.
Fall of democracy. Not civilization, folks. We're just talking about democracy here. It's a little bit down on the so civilization, and then we're gonna tone it down and go back to democracy.
It's the one big domino before civilization falls, right? It's like when you're looking at all the dominoes fall, it's the one right before civilization, I think.
Well, I thought we were just talking about the fall of civilization as far as, you know, COVID and everything like that.
Oh, okay.
Now we're trickling down to the basics of democracy. It's exciting.
Yeah. Terrifying, but exciting.
Let's remember that Tony Evers, okay, whether you agree with him or not, whether you think that he's doing good for the state or not, you can agree with everything he does, you can disagree with everything he does. Separate from that, the fact of the matter is that before he got into office, the former governor, Scott Walker, signed off on a bunch of things, the Republican legislature, limiting the powers of the governor. That was the lame duck session.
Things they totally fine with him doing when he was a Republican governor in charge. They were totally fine with him having those powers then. But they decided to curb him, knowing that there was a new governor that didn't necessarily agree with them was coming into office.
Yes, and so they made it harder for him to do his job in the first place. Tony Evers came in hamstrung, and for me, I had been against Scott Walker for a couple of years at that point, and that took my breath away. Like the boldness of that move, and just the downright despicable nature of that move was so underhanded and in your face. And I couldn't believe that even Republicans weren't disgusted by that.
It's almost like a hot tub in every Republican elected official's office.
It would be a lot more useful, I would say that, as far as for the people.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was as blatant as that.
So then
much.
After that, you know, they fought against Tony Evers. Tony Evers is asked to go and, hey, can you go and figure out can you help me figure out this COVID thing? Nope, we're going to go and gavel in.
The unemployment system could use a lot of updating. Nope, we got no ability to help you there.
Hey, can you go and help out with, we're having problems voting because of COVID. No, screw you. No.
Nope, none of that.
But then complain about Tony Evers not doing anything about the problems that they refuse to do anything about. And then they haven't even, the Senate, their job is to go and review and approve or disapprove Tony Evers' nominations for department heads, things like DHS, things like Health and Human Services. You listed like 10 things beforehand.
Yeah.
I have COVID brain, I'm going blank.
But
there's a lot of heads of departments, DNR, that that are not filled, that are filled with acting people right now. So Tony Evers' nomination is at least implementing Tony Evers' policy now. But here's the problem. By not doing their freaking jobs, your job, a-holes, is to go and take Tony Evers' nomination and either and
give it an up or give it a down vote. You got to vote
an up or down vote. They're not even doing that. They're not even doing the basic job to go and directly not do their job. So if they don't want to go and nominate or approve of the person, then fine. At least have the sack to put it down on paper. Put your name on it and say I don't like this person and say why for the record.
No,
okay,
see,
so in the past, so later on in the future, we can come down and go and say, look, this idiot said this. This is the reason why this idiot said we couldn't do this. But the more nefarious problem is, Luke, that you brought up right before we got on the air today. Why don't you explain to people what happens when, let's say, Rebecca Clayfish wins and all these acting secretaries, what happens to them?
Well, see, now, one of the things is the fact that the number of appointees have not been approved to date is as high as it is one thing that's startling. The other thing that really ties this into the fall of democracy is because there's a number of holdover appointees from the former Walker administration, Republican administration, that refuse to leave their position. So they're using a decades-old precedent saying, well, I can't leave until my position, my replacement is confirmed. And working hand in hand with, we have seen through documented evidence that the chair of the State Natural Resources Board has been working with special interest groups and the lobbyists like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and aides in Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu's office to say, hey, if I don't vacate this position, they can't force me to leave. I'll still be the chair, and I'm not going to leave, and we won't have an Evers appointee take that position. And so not only are we seeing that on the State Natural Resources Board, we're also now seeing that in the boards that oversee the UW Board of Regents that oversees the UW system, and also the State Board for Tech Colleges. So both of the educational boards that oversee educational policy here in the state of Wisconsin are experiencing the same thing. So Brian, I got a piece, the headline, GOP hasn't confirmed most of Governor Tony Evers' picks to UW Board of Regents Tech College boards. From Kelly Meyerhofer over at the Wisconsin State Journal. So five of Evers' picks for the State Technical College System Board are unconfirmed, with three of them unable to serve because appointees of former Republican Governor Scott Walker refused to vacate their seats. Like we mentioned, we already have Frederick Prenn, who is the holdover Walker appointee on the Natural Resources Board. We have the acting secretary of the Department of Health Services responsible for overseeing the state's action on how to address this pandemic is a designee. She has not been confirmed. And then we also have the number of UW Board of Regents. There are seven, Brian, seven UW Board of Regents that have not been confirmed by the state Senate here in Wisconsin. And what happens when if Clayfish wins in the fall, somebody other than Tony Evers wins in the fall, typically these terms go across governorships. It's not just one governor that gets to pick them, and then as soon as that governor, it's out. It's they span six terms. They go beyond a governor's term. And what happens when they're unfilled? Well, what happened when Merrick Garland's seat was unfilled at the national level, Brian?
The next person in gets to go and name whoever they want. And next thing you know, just because they win the governorship, oh, bam, they win all of the agencies of government as well. There's no holdovers like Walker had. There's no holdovers from he doesn't get the same shake. They are playing a dirty game, and they are not playing fair, and it drives me insane, and it should piss everybody off.
Yep.
I don't understand why there isn't a huge, huge issue about this. This is Merrick Garland times 20.
Yeah, it's literally a Merrick Garland happening in every state agency across the state that the governor would have the ability to put people in position that the people of Wisconsin elected Evers in 2018 to make those decisions. And Republicans are just saying, no, we're good. We're not going to take your advice. We're just going to let them sit there.
They're not even doing their job.
They're not. They're sitting, and they're not even going to do it this legislative session either. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Cowards.
We got one more segment left of the day. Give us a call, 844-977-2789.